Well, this weekend, Living in the Light retreat, of course, and so that's what I'll be speaking about today is living in the light, mostly from Ephesians, although it can be found, references to light and dark can be found throughout all of Scripture. I challenge you to find a book of the Bible that does not mention light and dark at some point, metaphorically. But Ephesians is where I want to focus, because Ephesians really gives us the pattern for Christian living. It sets a path for us that we can follow very, very clearly, and almost in a step-by-step. It's almost like he's speaking to children, because Paul just sets it out step-by-step. Listen, you don't even have to think, just do this. And then trust God, and then, you know, live this way and be moral, and we don't have to think about, oh, is this right or wrong? Am I doing this right? Because Paul sets before us the path, and so we can know very clearly. In the first three chapters, he talks about who the Christian is, who they are as an individual, as a congregation, as a nation of people. As a Christian with capital C. And the last three, he tells us about how a Christian lives and acts and functions. And so it's kind of nice. You can relax, sit back, and say, okay, this is what I need to do better. This is what I'm doing all right. And so it's very concise. It's very carefully laid out for us. An outline of how we are to live as new creatures. How Christians are to live in the world. And he makes really two statements that overshadow everything else about living as a Christian. If you follow these two things, you'll do pretty good, I think. And the first is found in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1. And you can turn there if you want. He says, I urge you to live worthy. Live worthy of the calling. And you only have to remember those two words, to live worthy. Now, you may think that means, you know, doing a certain amount of good deeds each day and making sure that you don't make the senior pastor angry and making sure you really suck up to the youth pastor and all of this other stuff to live worthy. But that's not what he's talking about. In other words, let your living balance out your identity. So if you identify yourself as a Christian, live that way. Balance out your identity. Your lifestyle needs to balance your identity. If you call yourself a new creation, a Christian, then just walk that way. Walk worthy. The second is found in chapter 5 of Ephesians, and that's Ephesians chapter 5 is what we focused on this weekend at the youth retreat. It's found in chapter 5 in verse 1, and in some translations it says be followers of God, in some translations it says be imitators of God. But either way, it basically means the same thing. So we need to walk worthy and imitate God. Those are the two keys. That's the heart of his message, of Paul's message. If you're going to walk worthy of your calling, you have to walk in a way that God would walk. And Christ is our pattern, and it's set out for us very clearly in Ephesians, but through all of Scripture, God reveals to us who he is and how we can walk worthy and how we can imitate him. Christ is our pattern. And so we need to pattern our lives after Christ. He walked worthy of who he was when Jesus came to earth. He balanced out his identity with his lifestyle, right? He walked worthy. He imitated God. He was our pattern. And so we can be like Christ. And it goes all the way back to that. It goes all the way back to Jesus. It goes all the way back to Romans chapter 8. Where Paul says the ultimate goal for the believer is to be conformed to the image of his son. And it goes back to 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image." And it goes all the way back to 1 John 2:6, where it says, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." And it goes to the ultimate goal of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, "Someday we shall be like him when we see him as he is." So we are to be Christ-like. That's the essence of walking worthy. It's the essence of imitating God, to be like Jesus. And that's what we talked about this weekend, living in the light. We talked about the dark paths that come across our way sometimes. And sometimes, as we're walking the path and we see, you know, darkness ahead, we get a little bit curious about what that may hold. We might like the surprise factor or the anticipation of not being able to see clearly what's ahead. And that's why the Holy Spirit was sent to us. Because first we had God the Creator, a physical presence on earth who walked with his children, right? And he still interacts with us today. But then he was physically in our presence. And then Jesus came to die for us, and he was the physical presence on earth. And after Jesus was taken up, the Holy Spirit was sent to be the physical presence on earth. And that's who we have today. And that's who comes in when we start walking towards the dark path. He kind of jumps in our way and says, "Maybe not. You know, curiosity is a good thing, but darkness isn't a good thing. Look over here. You can clearly see the path. You don't have to guess about right or wrong. You don't have to try to fumble your way in the darkness saying, oh, there's a left turn here. Do I take this left turn? Where in the light, it's clear, it is straight, and we don't have to look like morons trying to fumble around in the darkness. We have the wisdom and the discernment that the Holy Spirit provides. There's two aspects of living in the light. There's an intellectual aspect and there's a moral aspect. The intellectual refers to truth, right? I've seen the light. That usually means that there's been an epiphany of some sort, or a really poignant part of a movie. But usually means that something has been revealed to you and you're in the know. And morally, living in the light means holiness, basically. A holy way of living. Living in the light means living in truth and in holiness. Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good to me. On the other hand, intellectually, darkness usually refers to ignorance, right? Sometimes it's best to keep the pastor in the dark about what's happening at youth retreats. And we won't get into that right now. But it usually refers to ignorance, right? You don't really get something. You're in the dark about something. You don't quite understand. I spent 12 years of my life in the dark about math. Actually, I'm still in the dark about math. So it means that you're ignorant. Now, morally, living in the darkness or darkness is it refers to evil, right? The deeds of darkness. Bad things are done in the dark. Not so holy things, right? Bad things happen in the dark. And this is spoken about throughout of all of Scripture, is the difference between light and dark. In Romans chapter 1, it says, "Their foolish heart was darkened." Means that they, I think that refers to both the intellectual and the moral, meaning that people choose to blind themselves, right? They choose to live in the dark, morally, intellectually. Because sometimes living in the light means you have to change things. And people resist change. Everybody does. change sometimes is difficult. So light and dark is a contrast both of truth and behavior. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light." Now, sometimes that can be a little bit confusing. Sometimes when a command is given, when a law is given, you don't really understand why, and you kind of blindly follow it, right? Now, that can be confusing for some, but when we live in the light, when we know that it's God's command, when we know that the law is righteous, even if we're not quite sure why, we can follow it because it'll be revealed to us later. Or we'll get why we didn't do this other thing over here, because it would lead to some sort of, I don't know, moral depravity or something. Now, we played a game this weekend where there was scripture, and it was cut up into lots of pieces, and the pieces were taped to the walls and to the doors and in plain sight. We didn't want to make it too difficult for the teenagers because. Anyway, it was in plain sight, except for this one room where it was still in plain sight, except for all the lights were off. So the goal was to get all of the pieces of the scripture, come back and assemble them so that we would know what it said. And it took no time at all to find the pieces that were just stuck to random walls and doors in the light. But, man, some people really made fools of themselves groping around in the dark looking for those last pieces of scripture, crawling on the floor and groping the wall and each other sometimes. There was pushing and anyway, it turned out that somebody had taken it from the wall and put it on Jordan's back. And so that was interesting. But it was way more difficult, even though it was in plain sight, right? It was in plain view. It was way more difficult to find those scriptures. And that can teach us a lesson, right? When we're clumsily groping around in the dark, trying to find the truth, trying to find God's way, when clearly God is light, and in him there is no darkness. I have a short video that I'd like to show you that kind of sums that up well, if we could show that.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I'm going to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I can play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know? And then sometimes I like to rattle up to the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games with them?
Usually I feed them to my cat. Yeah, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you looking at the cage.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. Funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm gonna put games into their life that they think is gonna bring them so much pleasure. Then I'm gonna turn the world upside down. I'm gonna make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So, I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
Is that a sermon for today or what? Could show that and go home. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Our society today loves to do that, don't they? We see all the time how values change with the direction of the wind. The loudest voices or the most voices get to say what's right or wrong. And that's how we've gotten to where we are today. Now, Christians are called to a higher stance than that, right? We know the truth. We know that there's ultimate truth. Truth that you can't just change when you feel like it, when it's convenient. And we need to take a firm stance on that. We need to be Christians who walk in the light. And you need to be sure of that, that you walk in the light. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Anybody? It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When I read that this weekend, some of the teens started giggling a little bit at the thought of interacting just with psalms and songs. Thought that might be a good exercise. And we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are to be gentle with each other. We're to be pure, holy, walking in the light. We tend to drag our darkness around with us sometimes. Christians today have become expert fence sitters. And actually, you could say that for a lot of churches too, have become expert fence sitters. You know those pole sitting competitions? I've only seen them on YouTube, where they climb really tall poles and whoever can hold out the longest, they sit on top of them for days and days. You know, if there was a fence-sitting competition, I bet a Christian would win every single time. Because we're experts at that. And not taking a stance. Sitting on the fence. It's like we're still bound by our darkness, even though we walk in the light. We have one foot in. We have one foot in, but there's something that we still want to hold on to. There's something in our lives, an addiction, a sin, a vice of some sort, that it's like, you know, God, I'll give you like this 99% of me. It's all yours. If you tell me to go to the mission field, I'll go. If you tell me to become a preacher, I'll do it. If you tell me whatever you want, God, I will do it, as long as you don't make me give up this one thing. I just want to keep it. I won't tell anybody about it. Nobody will know. Everyone will be okay that I'm a preacher, because, or whatever it is, because they'll see that I'm 99% for you. But God, don't make me give up this one thing. And so we drag it around with us. And we have one foot in the light. And it's like we'll take one step and then let the light get ahead of us a little bit and take another step, so that we don't have to be both feet in. Right? We can keep that darkness just a little bit. Because when Christ takes over fully, there can be no darkness. Because God is light. And even the tiniest flame will vanquish darkness that surrounds it. And that's a very heavy message. It's a very heavy thing to contemplate. The fact that we cannot be in God's presence if we have 99% devotion to him. It's like, well, we should get ours. That's pretty good. It's better than that guy over there, right? He's only given like 98%. I'm giving 99%. But you know what? When we start comparing ourselves to other people, we just get deeper into the darkness. Because God doesn't compare us to each other. He doesn't say, oh, Megan, you're pretty good, but Sarah Lee, she's like the best. She's my favorite. She like gave up chocolate for Lent. God doesn't compare us to each other. God sets a standard and says, just be this. Don't worry about them. Be this. And the good thing is, we don't have to be somebody else. We just have to be ourselves. Because what does Ephesians 5:8 say? That's right. It doesn't say, try to be this child of light. It doesn't say, try to be a better person. It says, just be. Just live the way I created you to live. And darkness will not exist, because you will be in the light. You know, we put on lots of different faces, right? We put on a different face at work. It may be the "I'm working really hard" face, you know. And it may be the "Oh, I'm funny all the time" face, right? Everything's a joke. Life's funny. It may be the "Oh, I'll laugh at your crude, awful jokes, because if I don't, I'll look stupid." It may be the, I don't know, you can fill in your own blanks, I guess. But we all wear different faces, and God's saying, "I just want your face. I just want you, the way you were created. Don't try to be somebody else. Just be. Live as children in the light." Because when we do that, we won't be fumbling. We won't be fence-sitters. We won't one day say, "Oh, yeah, you know, I go to church sometimes." And the next day say, "Oh, church, no, that's for losers," or whatever, you know. You can, again, just fill in your own little metaphor. Because when we walk in the light, the Holy Spirit fills us. And we can walk sure, and we can walk straight and strong. And who doesn't want that? We played a game, one of the youth's favorite games, called Grog. And we played another game that's called Bible Smugglers, where basically it's just an excuse to scream at people in the dark. You know, there is kind of a point, but really it's just an excuse to chase each other around. And man, I am glad it's dark, because I'm sure that I look like the biggest fool. When we're running around, I trip on chairs, I run into walls, I run into Kurt. I can't win at these games. I've given up on trying to win. I just do what everyone else is doing and run around yelling in the dark and attempting to scare people. Or, as I did the other night, I hid in one classroom under a bench. I think it was a bench, and I just sat there. I didn't even look for anybody. I didn't look for anything. I just waited for the game to be over, because I kept getting caught and scared, and I was like sweating profusely out of my scaredness, and I just wanted the game to kind of end. But I didn't want to go up to the foyer, because I didn't want to look like a quitter. So I just sat there like a fool, barely breathing, because there was, like, Kurt and Jordan, I think. I don't know who it was, but, like, they were very good at catching you. And, like, I think it was Jordan. He would enter a room and he'd just stand there, waiting for you to breathe. It's terrifying. It's like, I really have to breathe, but if I do, I'm going to get caught and I'll lose some dignity. And it turns out that you don't end the game with any dignity anyway. So, but we would rather look like fools sometimes than to walk in the light, than to walk straight and sure. We would rather just be clumsy and grope and try to find our way. And you know, there's all these different turns we can take. We can go to that party, we can live this lifestyle, we can hang out with those friends, we can, you know, do whatever, cheat on our taxes and cheat at work and whatever it may be. And we would rather do that and kind of clumsily act like a Christian than to really just be who we were created to be. And that's the great news. We've heard good news today and we've heard bad news, but the great news is all you have to do is be yourself. Because what does Ephesians 5:8 say? That's right. All we have to do is live. All we have to do is live in the light. And that's great news for us today, because I don't know about you, but I'm really good at acting like a fool sometimes. And it's really great to be able to let go of that darkness. And even if it's just a sin I've been carrying around for a little while, you know, maybe it's not one I've had my whole life or whatever, but you know, I drag it around. And once you let go of that, it's like, oh, just a breath of fresh air. It's just such a relief to be able to let that go and not look like a fool dragging it around still. I can just walk straight and sure. Have I made the point yet? Has the point been made? Then let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much that you just want to interact with us, God. You just want relationship with us. And Lord, I just pray that each person here, that we would just let go of whatever is weighing us down, causing us to fumble around and be clumsy. God, help us to be who you created us to be. Help us to walk worthy. Help us to understand what it means to be imitators of God. God, give us the courage at school and in our workplaces, in our homes, to live as children of light. God, may we never be ashamed or scared of living as children of light. God, be with us as we leave here today. Help us to walk sure and straight. And when those dark paths come in our way, just give us your Holy Spirit. Just help us to resist the temptation that darkness brings us. God, help us to be children of light. In Jesus' name, amen.